Welcome, Postcast listeners.
Hi, Tia.
Hi. But it's not Ray. I don't know if you could tell, Postcast listeners. Ray is not here for this week's show. And I assure you, it has nothing to do with last week's very daring chili challenge. No, Ray just had to fly quickly over to his home country, the USNA. So I have brought a guest host, I guess you could call, my partner here. Welcome, Mikael.
Hi, I'm Mikael. I'm from Canada.
And of course, he's Canadian. See, I treat you well, Postcast listeners. Morten is here with us, of course. He's keeping track on everything that we're doing. And I think it's going to be a good show.
Did Ray get airlifted to a hospital in a helicopter?
We can't. That's information we may not disclose. As usual, we're going to do the news first. And then, Mikael, I'm not sure, are you familiar with our surprise segment?
Surprise? No.
Yeah, a surprise segment is the segment in which we bring our co-host something completely random. It can be a piece of news, article, music, teddy bear, half-eaten cake, whatever, as long as the surprise will be genuine. And I think I have something really, really cool for you in store today.
So I should also be prepared to end up in the hospital then?
How about some news? What do you, Mikael, think that the following have in common? Let me list it for you. We've got the Beatles album, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, the classic film Bonnie and Clyde, the famous Pirates of the Caribbean ride at Disneyland, and finally, Julia Roberts and Nicole Kidman.
Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club. You lost me after Sgt. Pepper.
I'll give you another clue.
Please.
Kurt Cobain and Philip Seymour Hoffman didn't quite make it. The answer is that they're all deserving of a cake with the number 50 on it.
Ah, 50 years.
Exactly. Do you remember, I don't know if you've heard one of our shows where we ended up with Bonnie and Clyde co-stars Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway misfiring when they presented the Oscar for Best Film this year?
Yes. Okay, I think I know where you're going with this cake. Could it have something to do with the Minister for Integration, Immigration and Housing?
Wow, Mikael, you come prepared. Yes, the Minister for Integration, Immigration and Housing, Inga Støjberg, was significantly off the mark recently when she posted a photo online that was, well, very possibly the least deserving of the number 50 in history.
Pretty big facepalm.
Oh, yeah. She thought that she'd reach out to potential right-wing voters with a mantra they can all agree on. And no, this mantra wasn't, cakes are good.
Yeah, I mean, had it been on Instagram, she would have probably gone away with it, because after all, nobody cares as long as it's a pretty picture, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. But on Facebook, you're kind of obliged to explain why you're posting a photo. And this is where she came unstuck.
So her cake had the number 50 on it. And
yeah, her cake had a number 50 on it because she was celebrating passing her 50th piece of legislation to tighten up the country's immigration laws. So even her fellow Venstre politicians weren't impressed. In fact, Jan Jørgensen, the citizenship spokesman, simply tweeted, "I'm on a diet."
Yeah, clearly she should keep her cake hole shut next time she wants to celebrate. But some good did come of it.
Some good did come of it. But we're not talking about that really gooey, chocolatey icing that Danes love to buy so much to slap on their layer cake.
Interestingly, a few days later, the Red Cross posted a similar picture on social media. To be fair, it wasn't as nice a cake, but it had the number 50 on it, and it invited donations of 50 kroner.
Donations of 50 kroner, yes. That's true. And in no time at all, it raised 500,000 kroner.
Wow.
So I guess when Støjberg gets to 100 legislation alterations, maybe she can help them raise a million.
The juxtaposition of delicious cake and unfortunate poor people brought to mind Marie Antoinette's famous quote that if the French peasants couldn't get hold of any bread, maybe they should eat cake.
Yeah, but did you know that this let them eat cake is just an urban myth?
I did, actually, yeah.
And that the same story has been told countless time about the ruling classes to prove just how out of touch they were with reality. The first recorded example was, in fact, an 11th century Chinese emperor who responded to a vice shortage by saying, "Let them eat meat." Sorry, rice. It was a shortage of rice. They were never short of vice in the Chinese court. Anyhow, but just to redress the balance, here are some true facts about cake that we've at the Copenhagen Post uncovered. Did you know that you can make frosting out of, hold on to something, out of potato? It's true.
Potato?
Yeah.
Potato frosting.
Potato frosting. So if you're out of butter, simply mash a potato and add icing sugar. Apparently it works a treat. After all, if you can make potato cakes, why not potato icing, right?
Yeah, actually, I have one. If you are missing a certain ingredient in your cake, and this is maybe an old Canadian folktale that doesn't work so well in Denmark, but if you're missing eggs, it's possible to substitute 1 cup of fresh snow for an egg in any recipe for a cake.
What?
Or baking, that kind of thing. And it works, I kid you not.
That cannot be true.
It's true. I've done it.
Really? You have busted the myth. It sounds like a myth.
I was, honestly, I didn't believe it. I have friends from the East Coast of Canada. We were trying to make a chocolate cake one night. It was pretty late. It was snowing. No one was going out to get eggs.
Now, I think now a lot of vegans just stood up and started clapping somewhere out there. And it's like, yes, no more eggs.
And they're all moving to the north.
Did you know that the Western tradition of adding lit candles to the top of birthday cake originated in 18th century Germany, for example?
I did not.
So just like the candles on a Christmas tree. So really, it was the Germans who invented Hygge.
Ah, of course.
And did you also know that the white frosting on a wedding cake used to signify wealth? Nothing to do with the virginal bride. The first wedding cake was presented in 1840, and, you know, refined sugar was a big luxury in those days.
Okay, I have another one. Did you know that the first cake mix kit only required you to add water, but it didn't really catch on as consumers didn't trust it? It was only when you were required to add an egg or a cup of snow that the sales finally took off.
Very nice. And finally, here's a local piece of trivia. The word for cake is actually Viking in origin. It comes from the Old Norse word kaka, but exactly the same spelling as the Brazilian football player kaka. So I guess you just simply add some lemon pele and fat Ronaldo will eat it.
Oh, nice one.
If there's one thing that we know at the Copenhagen Post is that our readers like stories about Vikings and also stories about immigrants. It's hardly surprising that one of our best read stories this month had the headline, "Immigration to Denmark is nothing new, just ask the Vikings."
Sounds really intriguing. Like they've found evidence of some 8th century Moroccan women who qualified for family reunification with their rapists.
Yeah, but the immigrants in question were all the way from Norway, the other part of the Viking world. A Danish archaeologist has discovered a grave in Ranas and deduces the dead woman was Norwegian because of her teeth. Now, English I can understand, but Norwegian? That's...
Yeah, I mean, apparently her jewelry is also a giveaway that she's from southern Norway, because it's not like you'd want to stand out at sword practice by wearing some necklace that Bjorn brought back from plundering.
Oh, give me the stuff made out of Danish things that we've been wearing for generations. And you would say, ooh, look at the Norwegian girl showing off with her fancy clobber.
Apparently the woman had bronze buckles, silver jewelry, and glass and metal pearls.
She must have been quite a sight when she walked through the town, said the archaeologist, who categorically concludes that a women's jewelry cupboard proves without doubt that Viking Denmark was multi-ethnic. And that wasn't the only story that we had. Over in the hamlet of Herning in Jutland, archaeologists claim they have found a horse bridle that could only have been owned by one of the most powerful people in the kingdom.
Oh, I mean, unless it was nicked, or fashioned by the village blacksmith for himself, or picked up plundering the east coast of England, or taken as a trophy from the field of battle.
Or maybe won a game of dice with a drunk lord. Could be. But still, this archaeologist was pretty sure the owner knew the king, Gorm the Old.
Who's that then?
I don't know. Must be a king. Why? He hasn't got shit all over him.
The find has been compared to two other sensational finds, the Tolun Man and the Ichtville girl, who recently, it was confirmed, was in fact German.
Oh, how exotic. See, they told you Viking Denmark was multi-ethnic.
And it is. And talking of modern-day Vikings, the country's bikers will be taking to the roads on March the 30th to mark what is for many Danes the start of spring. Yes, Bagn is back.
Ha, a tradition since 1965. Buy those guys a cake. Around 10,000 bikers will congregate at Noble Rundel in the early evening to form a procession to the amusement park to mark its official opening.
Yes, exciting times. And staying with the historical theme, Oxenhellen Helmtor on the weekend of March 25 to 26 is hosting Historiske Day, a mecca for history buffs that includes weapon demos and guidance, debates, and a historic underwear show.
Is there going to be a weapons demo as part of the underwear show?
I think so. It's just perfect.
Sign me up.
And if it's modern, high-end lingerie you want, head to Designer Forum from March 31st to April the 2nd to save up to 80% on leading brands that were oh so fashionable last season.
That's the Forum in Frederiksberg for you fashionistas out there.
Of course, you would know that, Mikael. And from the most fashion-conscious women to their male counterparts, the world's best breakdancing artists will be hitting the floor at Floor Wars at Vega on March 25th. Doors open at 3 p.m. and the finals start at 8 in the evening.
That sounds amazing. I'm going to check that out. Find out more at floorwars.dk.
And finally, we started with birthdays and we're ending with one. Riverdance 21, the anniversary show, is coming to Copenhagen this autumn to play two shows at Royal Arena on September 15th and 16th. Tickets have been on sale since Tuesday.
I think we're confused, though, given that it first came to the attention of the world during the interval of the 1994 Eurovision Song Contest. If my math is correct, Riverdance 21 will, in fact, be 23 and a half years old by the time it arrives.
Our listeners can find out more about everything we talk about here in the paper from the newspaper, or they can just head online to our website, cphpost.dk.
cphpost.dk.
Well said, Mikael. And I think our listeners can stay tuned for our surprise segment that's coming up shortly. Welcome back, Postcast listeners.
Welcome back, Tia.
And Mikael, you're still here. You haven't left the studio yet.
They have me chained to the desk.
Can you loosen the shackles a little bit, Morten? Thank you. we have arrived at our interesting surprise segment.
Because I have no idea what to expect. I'm waiting for a trapdoor to open or something, an alligator pit.
What do you know about Vikings, Mikael?
Very little, embarrassingly. You know, maybe some of the stereotypical, they were warrior types. They had horned helmets, mm-hmm. tall, blonde, flowing manes.
Oh, yeah. I guess somebody has been watching the TV show. Did you know that Vikings invented skiing?
Skiing?
Skiing, yeah. Isn't that a big thing in Canada?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, they invented skiing 6,000 years ago.
What did they use? They made skis out of...
It was like a form of recreation for them, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we have them to thank for many things, obviously.
Including the word that we have for breasts. Tits. I can say tits. Tits get their name from the Old Norse titlingr, which means little bird.
Titlingr.
Isn't that sweet? Little bird.
That's so cute. Yeah.
This dictionary has like two sides. One of them gives you the equivalent of the word in Norman dialect. Do you know anything about the Norman language, you as a Canadian?
Who's Norman?
Let's just dive right in. Let me give you a word and then just give me, you know, whatever it is that you feel like on the top of your head and see how good or how linguistically inclined you are.
Okay.
Muli.
Muli.
Yes.
Is this like a spelling bee? Can I ask you to use it in a sentence?
No, unfortunately you can't.
Can you say it again?
Muli.
Do I get to know how it's spelled or no?
Yeah, it's M-U with like a little accent, L-I.
Muli.
Muli.
I'm going to, off the top of my head, I'm going to say it has something to do with money or...
Almost.
Currency.
No.
No? Almost no.
Almost no. No, it actually means mouth.
Ah, put your money where your mouth is.
Yeah, that was kind of the way I...
Yeah, I'm so linguistically inclined.
Yeah, and it, well, you are. So that's 0-1.
Oh, I don't even get half a point?
No.
All right.
No, you do not.
I see how
we
this game
very,
goes.
We are very, very unfair at this game here. Okay, Garthr.
Can you say it again?
What could Garthr mean?
I mean...
You'd make a good Viking. You'd make a great Viking.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because of my...
Our listeners can't really see you, but you're definitely tall enough to be a Viking.
Yeah, and I'm wearing a horned helmet.
Garthr.
I have no clue.
But just,
I need to... you know, my first inclination was Wayne's World, Wayne and Garth, but that's... No, you're
it's
just...
a great film.
Thanks for laughing. That
no,
really
it is.
Funny.
It means fence.
Fence.
Of course, because garden, fence.
So good fences make good neighbors. Is that expression?
I think you're onto something with that one.
Got the.
All right, that's...
2 points for me.
That's two for me. Yay. All right. This I'm gonna try to make it a bit easier for you. Okay, are you ready for this?
Yeah, easy's good.
Laika.
Laika.
That has nothing to do with the dog in space.
Okay. I should know this. There's a pretty famous bar in Montreal called Laika.
Hmm?
Laika.
I can see that it's on the tip of your tongue.
The tip of my brain.
It's on the garth of your brain. On the fence of your brain. Morton, don't help him.
Do I get to phone a friend?
No, not this time. No.
Laika, I really don't know. This could be anything.
Okay, what if I say...
Hint. Give me a hint.
Lego.
Lego?
Mm-hmm.
Blocks? Connecting blocks made of plastic coming from Denmark?
No, Laika means to play.
To play.
And similarly as well, Lego comes from the two words Lai-got, which means play well.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
This is such a great learning experience for me.
Thank you. I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope the same is true for you, podcast listeners. Should we give Mikael half a point? No, not giving any points. Thank you so much for playing. I think we've kind of gotten closer to the Viking sentiment now.
Mm-hmm.
Since we're both immigrants in this sea of immigrants.
Multi-ethnic.
Dear podcast listeners, if you like the show, don't forget to go on iTunes and leave us a review because it helps us so much in getting up in the ranks. And also, all that we mention and talk about, you can find in the paper form of the Copenhagen Post. If you can find that, then you can always go online on cphpost.dk and read about all of these fantastic news. And Mihe, thank you so much for replacing Ray until he's back.
It is my pleasure, Tia. Thank you for having me.
My name is Tia Hoka. See you next week.